I haven't gotten to meet you yet, my name is Jonathan Hupp. I get to be a pastor here at Bluemont. And I do want to acknowledge and welcome those of you who are new. We met a lot of students the last week or two on campus. And I know this is the first Sunday for some of you to be here. So I want to say welcome. And we're so glad you're here. And really, a big central part of the reason our church exists is to serve college students. I know that my life was really intercepted by God as a college student and came into a place of understanding the purpose for my life and being trained for that and prepared for it in a way that those 4 years of my life, of college for me, felt like 10 years because it was so impactful. And that's really our heart is, you know, a big part of our, it's one of the reasons we're here is to help college students come to know God, come to know their purpose, and be prepared for a life of serving God and living out the calling that he has for you. So if we're here, you know, for that. If there's any way we can help, any questions, we're glad you're here, and we're praying, no matter how God leads you, that this time at K-State would be so impactful and valuable for you. So welcome. And we're going to jump into, like Brendan said, we're kicking off a new series today, Disciples in Disturbing Times. And if you haven't noticed, the times we live in are a little disturbing. And there's no matter where you look, whether it's inflation and the economy and politics, the environment, there's questions, just the social cohesion and the fundamental questions about gender. I mean, everything is just kind of up in the air in so many ways. It's disturbing. Earlier this last week, I got a text from a family member who was watching the Democratic National Convention. And we started conversing, and she's like, hey, you know, I'm really nervous about what happens if Trump comes to power. And so I texted back, okay, what are you nervous about? And then she said, well, I'm really nervous if he loses the election, that there's going to be some sort of revolution or something. And I was like, wow, that kind of sums it up. Like, you're scared if he wins and scared if he loses. It's going to be like, that's like kind of what our world feels like. It's like there's so much that we just don't know and possibilities and uncertainty and things that are seemingly on the brink or could unravel or just are tenuous. And, you know, that, I think it is a unique time that we live in. And there are some important things happening in the world. And God is not worried about this. We're going to look at this today. But it is a unique time. And really, if there's one theme verse for this series that we're going to be looking at over the next several weeks, it's this theme verse. It's from the Old Testament in the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 12, 32. It says that from Issachar, which was one of the 12 tribes of Israel, there were men who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. 100 chiefs with all their relatives under their command. But there were people who understood the times in which they lived, and they knew what God's people were supposed to do in those times. And man, that is the need of the hour today, for people to understand the times in which we live. There is a unique purpose that God has in the world today. But it takes the ability to understand what's going on. And then not just to know, like, you know, I'm a smart guy and I have answers, I can talk about politics or whatever, but to know, okay, what should we do and what should I do? How am I supposed to live in this hour right now? Because so often we look at, you know, the overwhelming problems and it's just kind of like, oh, there's nothing I can do. This is too much. It's just beyond me. But to know, there is how is God calling me to live? And be part of what he's doing in the world today. So we're going to look at that. This, you know, just like I said, the world is, you know, there's a lot going on, and it's a big picture and also small picture. It can feel just so uncertain. And I know that also this week, this is an interesting week for me. I had a dream a couple nights ago, just thinking about how do the world's events affect my life. Well, I had a dream that a good friend of mine was getting married, and I was in the wedding party, and I hadn't seen him for a while, and I was at the like rehearsal dinner the day before, and the whole time it was really weird because I hadn't met his fiance, And she wasn't around. And I started just thinking, wait, is he marrying a man instead of a woman? And like, where, what's going on? I need to talk to my buddy, but I can't find a moment. And it just, my whole dream is like, oh, I need, this is, it's so discombobulating. I don't know what to do, but I want to get to the bottom of this. And you know, that was disturbing. You know, that was disturbing for me to have been in that situation. Another disturbing thing that happened this past week is I called the paint store to order a replacement can of paint that from something I had used like 7 years ago to paint my house. And it was good paint, but I got it all, you know, okay, here's the order. Oh, by the way, what's the price for this? $108. Like, what? Are you $108 for a gallon of paint? Like, wow, I mean, inflation is real. Like, this is crazy. And there's a lot that is disturbing in the world. A lot of things that are uncertain. So, but God has answers. And we're really starting out this series looking at how God is over the chaos. That's the title for this morning's message, Over the Chaos Monsters. And you'll see why I call it that. Besides, it just kind of feels like chaos monsters are controlling things a lot of times. But really, there's from the beginning of creation, from the beginning of the world, there's been a tension between chaos and the order that God is wanting to bring and is bringing into the world. When we read the very first two verses of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, we read, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep." So that's imagery of a chaotic, uncertain world as at the beginning. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of these chaotic waters. And it goes on and it talks about how then God separated the water over the oceans from the water in the sky, and then he put the sun and the moon in place and the stars. And then in verse 9 it says, "And then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good." This is good stuff. God brings land out of the oceans, and there's dry land now on this earth. And this is a familiar passage to many of us. But there's a dimension of this that for us as people who live in 2024 in the U.S. of A., we may miss what some of the essence of this came across to the first readers, those who were in an ancient Middle East context. But there would have been some clues coming into this that are deeper than what we automatically see. And I just want to read a quote from, there's a guy named Michael Heiser, who's really, really helpful Bible teacher, who's helped a lot of us. One of his books is called I Dare You Not to Bore Me with the Bible. It's a good title. But he's talking about this. Let's read this couple paragraphs. "In the ancient world, the original or primordial chaotic conditions of creation were often portrayed as a monstrous dragon. This is reflected in stories from ancient Babylon, and Israel's closest neighbor, Ugarit, which is ancient Syria, just north of Israel. In the literature of ancient Ugarit, the god Baal, which was their biggest god, battles Yam, who is portrayed as a chaotic, churning sea and a terrifying sea dragon named Tanun or Latanu." Okay, so that's their mythology, their creation origin story, is there's this sea monster and this water that's also, it seems to be this entity, and it's chaotic and there's a battle going on. These terms are equivalent to the Hebrew words in Psalm 74, 13 and 14, speaking of what God's actions. It says, "You divided the sea," literally the word in Hebrew there is Yam, which is again that name of the monstrous sea dragon or sea monster. "You divided the sea, Yam, by your might. You broke the heads of the sea monsters, the Taninim, on the waters. You crush the heads of Leviathan, which was a word similar to the Ugarit word for the dragon. So we see that there's this, in the creation, that it's not just like this God in an inanimate world, but there are, it's this picture of spiritual beings and even spiritual conflict between chaos and God's plan and God's order. There's behind, you know, behind, and it's interesting even when you look at when God made Adam and Eve in the creation story, there's this beautiful garden that God made. And we just kind of were like, wow, yes, the world's at peace and bliss. And it was, but have you ever thought about there was a serpent in the garden? There was already an enemy. And from the very early on, man and woman encounter an enemy. And I think it's important for us to realize, as we're often like, oh, you know, God's real plan was for us just to live in bliss without conflict forever. But actually, God put us in a world where there was an enemy. And even there was a garden, but there was a mission. The rest of the world outside the garden was more chaotic. It was untamed. It was wild. And there was a mission that God gave people to spread the garden throughout the world and to bring God's order into the places where there was chaos. So there's a psalm that, you know, Psalm 2. We're going to just read through this. This is our main passage this morning. That really speaks to the world we find ourselves in today, but it's very similar to the world that the author of the psalm wrote. I'm just going to read through it, and then we're going to talk about it. Why do the nations rage? And I encourage you, if you have a Bible or an app, you might want to open to it, because we're going to be flipping back to this a little bit. But why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. Just want to say this. Why do the nations rage? Some translations say, why are the nations in an uproar? Why are the nations in turmoil? Why are the nations disturbed? You know, why is it so chaotic? Why is it so disturbed in the world? Well, it says it's because there are people, and really if you understand the biblical typology and how it works, whenever there are human rulers, that they're connected to spiritual rulers, to spiritual powers as well. And so it's saying, man, it's because there are these people and these rulers that have set themselves against God. They're in rebellion against God. And the turmoil of the world boils down to rebellion and resistance to God. Verse 3, let us burst their bonds apart, cast away their cords from us. That's how fallen people think. Oh man, God's, man, we need independence. We need to do it our own way. Let's rebel. What's God's response? We'll give you a clue. He's not very nervous about all this. He's not very intimidated. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. So God laughs, and then he places his king, which we know is King Jesus, the Messiah. He places him on his throne over this chaotic world. Verse 7, I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, speaking now of this king, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. And this is wild. This was written hundreds of years before Jesus. But this is a prophecy and description of the Messiah's role. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, or your inheritance, and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Okay, this is a interesting psalm. It's oddly comforting in the midst of this chaos and rebellion, but showing God's sovereign rule over it all. I just want to break it down with a couple of key takeaways from this psalm. First one is that behind the chaos and the confusion, there are evil entities. Behind the chaos and confusion, there are evil spiritual entities. So I've touched on already. But it's not just human actors. It's not just natural things. But there is a spiritual world in rebellion to the Creator God. And so if you feel like there's something in the air, there's something going on in the world today, it feels like there's evil forces at play. Guess what? That's because there are unseen powers that are working to rebel against the rule of God. Ephesians 6:12, the Apostle Paul says, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." And so we got to get that. And it's funny, there's a lot of Christianity a version of Christianity that exists without ever talking about the other side, without talking about, yeah, we believe in, there's a spiritual being called God, but not realizing all the other little g gods, all the other spiritual powers that are in rebellion against God. But that's essential to know what's going on in the universe, what's going on in our world. So behind the chaos and confusion are evil entities. Next point is that God reigns. Thank God for that. God reigns, and he's always bringing life-giving order to things. Just like in the creation, it was the chaos and the waters, but God speaks and brings dry land. God is bringing order and life in the midst of the chaos. That's what he does. He's when these things come against him, he laughs. He's not intimidated. He's bringing his purpose about. He says in verse, where is, let's look at the next slide here. Yeah, it should be verse 6 of Psalm 2. "As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill." So here's all this going on. The nations are raging, but I'm going to establish my king and his kingdom in the midst of it all to bring my order. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33, we read that God is not a God of disorder, of instability, disturbance, upheaval, tumult, confusion, but of peace. So, man, no matter what's going on, we can step back and wait a minute. God is reigning. Jesus is reigning, and he's over all this. The next huge thing is that we got to understand that Jesus inflicted a mortal blow on his enemies and our enemies. I love how, we just read, "I've installed my king on Zion." He is reigning. He has brought an answer to the evil of the world by bringing his son and dying on the cross for sin and to break the power of evil and then to rise again from the dead to bring life and real life-giving order into the world. In Colossians 2:15, describing the work of Jesus on the cross, we're told that he disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Now, this is cool. This is actually a picture of the language is what was used of the Roman army when they would conquer a new territory. They would lead the generals and the captains and the leaders and the soldiers of the army they defeated. They would bring some of them back to Rome and have a victory parade and just like parade them through the streets, taunting them. And the people would come out and jeer and celebrate. "Yes, we won." And this is what Jesus did on the cross. That he defeated his enemies. He defeated every power, every addiction, every force of sickness, every force of evil, every force of unrest that comes against God's good order. He defeated it. He dealt it a mortal blow. So it's still in existence, but it's kind of like when you cut this head off of a snake. Like it's still writhing and moving, but its time is short, and it has been dealt a mortal blow. In Isaiah 27:1, we're told, "In that day, the Lord with his hard and great and strong sword will punish Leviathan." There's that image, that word for that sea serpent or monster of some sort, chaos monster. The Lord will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent, Leviathan, the twisting serpent, and will slay the dragon that is in the sea. So we stand at a place in history that Jesus has defeated the forces of evil, and he is working out that defeat in the world today. And finally, I like this last one, he invites us to join the fun. It's kind of like, okay, we are so easily intimidated by what's going on, but if we understood the victory that Jesus has won and where God is, and if we are believers in Jesus and on his side, then that's not just so that we can escape out of this difficult world someday, but it's for him to hire us in to his army, for him to invite us to join him and be part of what he's doing in the world. I met a man when I was young. He was old, and he had done missions work around the world, and he would do these huge crusades where he'd go into Muslim countries, Hindu countries, where there were basically no Christians or very few Christians, and he would preach the gospel and literally just saw some crazy miracles, saw people raised from the dead, people healed, amazing things happened, saw people come to believe in Jesus and churches start, just amazing stuff. And I talked to a guy who traveled with him, and he said when this man would come into an area and he was getting ready for the crusade, sometimes he would just be like, I smell devils. And he could discern the spiritual powers in that place, but it didn't intimidate him. It was like, yeah, let's get it on. It's about to get real. I can smell those devils, and they're going to be running because the gospel of Jesus is coming to this place. And that's really the attitude that we should have if we're followers of Jesus. It's like, I smell disturbing times. I smell some chaos monsters. I smell the world. I mean, not that we're excited about, you know, the casualties and the effects on people's lives in the world, because it's real. But there should be something that says, okay, it's a good time to be alive. You know, that's really one of our themes this fall. We're actually making some t-shirts and stuff. So it's a good time to be alive. It's a great time to be alive. But man, okay, I smell devils. I think I was born for such a time as this. God's inviting me to join the fun. And okay, how crazy is it? Okay, that's the place where God wants to show up. Could I be part of the fun right there? Whether it's a family situation or a personal situation or things going on in society, God wants to bring us to be part of his solutions. At the end of Psalm 2, he says, now therefore, O kings, be wise. Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. So it's saying the kings of the earth are rebelling against God, but it's saying, hey, there's an invitation to them to repent, to turn from their rebellion, and recognize the Messiah as the Messiah, and honor him and reverence him, and be rescued from being under the chaos monsters, and then join in with what he's doing. And that's the invitation that comes to us as well. So, man, that's good stuff. How do we do that? How do we join in? How do we beat the chaos monsters? Well, I want to give us just three things here as we're starting to land this plane. There's a difference between starting to land and landing, but we're not too far off. How to beat the chaos monsters? One, place your faith and allegiance in King Jesus. Do what he told those kings. Turn from living for self. Turn from living in fear to whatever it is. Turn from sin and say, no, I don't want to, I'm going to, from now on, the one that I serve is going to be God. The one that I serve is going to be Jesus. Place your faith and allegiance in King Jesus. He is Lord over the chaos of the world. Is he Lord over your chaos? Is he Lord over your addictions? Is he Lord over your dreams? Is he Lord over your plans? Is he Lord over your relationships? The turning point comes when we say, okay, no longer will I be the king. Because actually, when I'm that, I'm actually aligned with chaos monsters. I'm actually under other powers. But I'm going to come under King Jesus. And 1,000%, no question, the vows have been spoken. He is my king. He is my Lord. Romans 10, 9 and 10, familiar passage says, if you declare or confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You know, saved does not only mean that you'll go to heaven when you die, so that's part of it, but it's deliverance, it's victory. It's starting right here and now. You will be saved from the chaos monsters, and you will come into a kingdom of peace. If you can declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that he died on the cross and rose from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified, made right with God. It's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. You know, one of the biggest tricks of the devil in modern times, in the Protestant world especially, but not just the Protestant world, has been to separate the truth that Jesus is Savior from the truth that Jesus is Lord. We oftentimes, when people are understanding of the gospel, people's understanding of the gospel is often, okay, Jesus died on the cross to save you from your sins so you could be forgiven and go to heaven when you die, and he would be your Savior. Now that is true. But nowhere in the Bible is it ever that truth separate from the reality that Jesus is Lord. It doesn't say if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Savior, you'll be saved. It says if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, you'll be saved. Peter on the day of Pentecost said, this Jesus who you crucified, God has made him Lord and Messiah. The real gospel, it's got to be together. If Jesus isn't our Lord, then it's questionable if he's our Savior, because those things go together. And it's very questionable. It's not only questionable, the question is answered if you're going to experience the benefits of his victory in your life, because you won't until he's your Lord. It's when he becomes Lord that he changes things. It's when he becomes Lord that he brings peace. It's when he becomes king that he defeats your enemies. He defeats your addictions. He defeats your fears. He defeats your insecurities. It's when he's the king that his salvation comes fully into our life. And so if we, you know, that's the starting point. Placing our faith and allegiance in King Jesus. And so, man, if we've done that, it's, man, staying in that place. Okay, today, Jesus, you're my king. If we've never done that, okay, are you ready to trust Jesus, to confess him, to turn to him as your Lord and Savior? So place your faith and allegiance in King Jesus. Second thing, learn and apply his commands in every area of life. Okay, when he's Lord, then he tells us what to do. He's a general. He's got instructions for life. And they're in here. They're in the Bible. And that has to do with our personal life. That has to do with our habits. That has to do with our relationships. That has to do with our careers, our callings, our studies, whatever. Every part of life, God has something to say about it. And all the problems in the world, and the economics, you know, the reason we have inflation in our society today, the reason my gallon of paint is $108, is because we have not followed the principles that are in this word right here. Every aspect of life, there are answers. And God's called us not only in our personal life, but in our careers and our callings. There are problems in the world that need King Jesus' answers. And they need people who study and learn them, and then are able to bring them to the world and demonstrate that they work. And so, man, we beat the chaos monsters by learning what God's word says and applying it. And lo and behold, it works. Lo and behold, I have peace. Lo and behold, my finances aren't a wreck anymore. Lo and behold, my relationships are different. Lo and behold, the answers, our political system, there are answers in this word for all of life. And so we beat the chaos monsters by learning and applying his word. We're going to talk about this more next week. In John 8, 31 and 32, we read, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples if you abide in my word, if you live in my word, if you're drawing life from me and my word and meditating on it, learning it, doing it, then you are disciples of mine and you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. All right, we also, you know, as a church, we're pretty passionate about this, and we have people that have learned a fair amount that are able to help others. And so, man, I was thinking about a big decision last night, and I was like, I need to call this friend because he's really good in that area. So it's a financial decision. It's like, this is what I'm thinking, but I want to run it by him because he's got a lot of wisdom that I don't have. And so that's really what our church is, what we're doing is, as we're learning, then we're helping other people too. And so our campus meetings, our small groups, are places to really apply God's word to our life and learn from other people as well. The last thing, how to beat the chaos monsters. How do you beat a monster? There's an essential quality you got to have. You got to be courageous. You got to be courageous. You know, we can be like my family member. Like, hey, if Trump wins, I'm scared. If Trump doesn't win, I'm scared. If this happens, I mean, that's how so many situations are like that. And there may be reasons to have those thoughts. But, man, God is not scared. God is not scared. He is accomplishing his purposes. And he is calling us to be with him, and then we can be in a place of having peace in the midst of chaos, in the midst of craziness. It takes courage to live like this. You know, if we're going to talk about being disciples in disturbing times, it all sounds great until the first challenging thing hits us later this afternoon. And then it's like, what did I hear this morning? That doesn't feel relevant right now. I just feel like I should freak out. You know, that's what seems appropriate right now. I feel like I should worry or stress or whatever. But no, it takes courage. It takes faith, which brings courage in our hearts. To live for God, it takes courage. Jesus said, and this recorded in Matthew 10:32-33, he said, so everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who's in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will deny before my Father who's in heaven. Wow. So, you know, to live for God in the midst of our culture, it takes courage to speak up. I remember my freshman year, I took a Western Civ class. And it was kind of the, like, most, I went to KU, so this probably makes more sense to you. KU is very clear agenda is overthrow God from his throne, basically. Like, that was kind of the bottom line of the educational system. You know, so there's plenty of that here at K-State as well. And Western Civ was kind of like the place to most do that. But I remember I was starting to grow as a disciple. I was experiencing more of God's presence in my life. And I remember having these things come up in class and go, something needs to be said. And I think I need to be the one to say it, because there aren't a lot of other people around here saying anything. And I was a shy guy. I was not naturally courageous about speaking out. But you know, I had some wins that semester. I had some times when I opened my mouth and got mocked by my professor and classmates, but also had some people listen, and it did some stuff in me that was so good. And you know, I still, it's crazy, like, meet people who were like, oh man, there was something that happened when we were in college that affected my life. And I'm so thankful that I got to be part of that. So be courageous. God told Joshua when he was calling him into his mission, he said, be strong and courageous. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. Be strong and courageous. Hold on to my word. Hold on to my commandments. And be strong and courageous. So, you know, I really, as we're moving on this series, and really today, you know, more than anything, it's just like laying the groundwork of, hey, God is God. Jesus is King. And we can come from a place of faith in him and be part of what he's doing. But it's really our goal is to bring it home. We're going to be looking at some big geopolitical issues, some big national issues. We're going to be looking at what God says. But in all of that, we're mostly wanting to bring it to our lives, to our personal lives. Okay, what do I need to understand? What do I need to do? You know, as we think about this, because no matter what we look at, there is a place of God bringing victory in the places of chaos. Is our political system a mess? Yes. But God is not uptight. Do the two presidential candidates have lots of issues? Clearly so. But God sits in the heavens and laughs. Is your family chaotic? If you say no, then good for you. But most of our families, there's plenty of chaos. But Jesus is Lord, and he has answers and peace for the situations that we're facing. Is your social life and are your relationships unsettling? Good chance they are, but Jesus can be Lord over that chaos. Is your health topsy-turvy? Well, Jesus is a God who has answers and brings his answers into our life. Is there lust or other addictions in your life? Well, Jesus is King, and he has the ability to deliver us and set us free. Are you confused about your identity in any way? Most of us are. But God has made us and speaks to us and wants to clarify to us who he's made us to be in this hour and how he wants us to live. Is it intimidating to think about serving God in the world today? It's pretty intimidating. But God is the God of courage who gives it to us. And so let's just pray together and trust God together. Lord, I'm so thankful that you're over it all. So thankful that you're the Lord over all the universe. And thank you for the ways that you've revealed that and made that real in my life. Thank you for the ways that you've made that real in so many of our lives. Lord, and as we look at our world today, as we look at our nation, as we look at our city, as we look at our personal lives, Lord, I confess today that you are Lord. You are over the chaos monsters. You are over all the other powers. And Lord, you have made a way for us to experience that and be part of bringing it both into our lives and also into the world around us. Lord, pray that you would lead us. God, I pray for this week that there would be ways that you're leading us more fully into this. Lord, we thank you for this. We trust you for it. In Jesus' name.